Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here. We're going to continue our discussion from yesterday on parenting. This is really taking us back to the very root of what intentional living is. Parent Talk is where we started, helping parents be parents, and we continue to do that, but now even more intentional than ever. And so today, we've got some questions that are coming in. Later on, we'll have some comments of what parents are doing to be successful, one thing that's working for them. Our comment line is always open at 888-888-1717. And we'd love to hear from you. Jennifer's here, Stephen and myself. I'm Dr. Randy, and we've got, I think, our first caller today, Josh, who has a question for me about some disunity going on in marriage. And, you know, we hear a lot of times we hear about disunity when mom and dad are not on the same page. So let's find out what's going on with Josh. Josh, well, welcome to the show today. What's your question?
Yeah, I was my question is I want to know how to create unity when I feel my wife is trying to create division in our home. I know it's the enemy more so than her, but I want to know how to really approach her the best way it would.
Well, what's the core issue, Josh? When you say she's trying to create division over what?
Well, really with our children. It's, you know, I say one thing, she says another, you know, and I'm trying to discipline them, train them up in the way they should go so they don't depart from it. And she's like, oh no, you know, why don't you just let them off the hook? And I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm their parent. I have to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make, you know, hold them accountable and teach them. And,
yeah,
you know, and I listen to you guys all day. You know, I work a mail route here in Phoenix, and so I'm listening to the radio constantly and listen to you guys and learn a lot. So I try to tell her about, you know, oh, you should have heard the stories today on intentional living, and, you know, we could do this. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. And
How long have you been married?
We're going on 7 years.
And how old are the kids?
My son just turned 7 on Sunday. My oldest, and then we have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Would you say that there's a, beyond the discipline of the kids, that the discipline of the kids is more of a symptom of an undercurrent of, I don't know, disrespect or not being on the same page in general?
Yeah, I'd say that would be the case.
Yeah. Because usually these things are more symptomatic of other things that are going on. What do you think the real core issue is, Josh, if you had to guess? What is the core issue between you and your wife?
Maybe her insecurity about life and her faith and, you know, being a good mother. I don't really, I don't know really where she's at. I've been trying to help her and, you know, try to figure that out. But her answer is, I don't know.
Do you share your faith together? I mean, do you attend church, take the family to church on the same page spiritually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I pray with the kids every night. We pray at dinner every day. We actually end up fighting over praying.
She doesn't want you to do that?
No, she does.
Okay. Fighting over who's going to pray. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, over who's going to pray. But it's more of, you know, like she believes in God. She wants to be saved, but the sanctification part of it is what she doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, you have to dig into the Word more so than digging into Facebook or, you know, digging into something else that isn't really as important than, you know, training, raising our kids and focusing on the family, focusing on what we need to do and how we can grow and, you know, instead of being stagnant and staying in the same place.
Well, Josh, you're in a situation where you're trying to lead and it sounds like you're getting resistance. There's some things you'd like to see happen in the family and some spiritual things and so on. And your wife is resisting and it's usually more complex than an initial call. There's other things probably going on in her life and her perspective and so on. Obviously, the two of you getting training and parenting together, getting in some classes on parenting together, would be really very practical and helpful, because it'll teach you some of the practical things you can be doing and should be doing to raise your kids. But as far as your relationship with your wife, I think you got more of a marriage issue than you do a parenting issue. And I was thinking of the passage in Ephesians where it says, with all lowliness, Paul says, and gentleness. Boy, these are great words. Lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And while he's speaking of the church, that certainly is applicable in our homes as well. And I would encourage you to do two things, Josh. One is to take a lead with your wife and saying, honey, I'd like to have us get into some parenting classes together. In fact, if you'll hang on in a minute, I'll send you the video series that we have on parenting, our Parenting Challenge video series. But something that you can view and listen and talk about and discuss this in terms of how we can be on the same page. That's the leadership part. I think the other part with her is just to love her and listen to her. Don't preach at her. Don't try to tell her what she should do or shouldn't do or what she should be or isn't. And I would just love her and accept her the way she is, and then take that leadership in saying, hey, let's get some training together so we can get on the same page as parents.
Right, definitely.
That makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. It's inspirational. It really, I just, I'm at a loss. I'm at an end. I've been doing it all wrong, apparently, or trying to. I just don't know.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hello, my question is, I'm in a new marriage, but I'm divorced and I have two daughters from my first husband. And we live different lifestyles. We are actively in church and, you know, we have this way of living. We believe in Christ. And when they go with their dad, he's the complete opposite. And they're exposed to more things. And, you know, when they come here, they get in prayer, they do things. And then when they go with their dad, oh, well, we don't have to do this there. And my five-year-old, she's even cried that daddy's going to go to hell. You know, so those are things that I don't know how to say, or I don't even want to make their dad be like a bad person because he's not walking the way we walk.
Well, we're all bad people, saved by grace, you know, and I think the attitude there, Desiree, your heart, his tenderness, and that your daughter's tenderness of not wanting her dad to go to hell, not have faith, not go to heaven. It says that she understands that you've been teaching her about the reality of knowing Jesus and having a relationship for Jesus. And I think when that type of thing comes up, the message is, hey, listen, we need to just pray. Let's pray for dad and be really positive and not critical. Dad's home. What do you expect? I mean, a person who's outside doesn't have a faith, we shouldn't expect them to want to live a life that's going to be different than the way you want to live your life. I mean, different values and different approach to life. And so in your home, making sure that you're living it in a way that honors Christ and teaching your kids about the Lord and encouraging and speaking positive about dad to the extent that you can, building him up. I think sometimes parents use the kids to play games, and boy, that's a negative thing. And just being the kind of messenger to your kids that you can look back 20 years from now and say, I am so thankful that I did this in this way. I'm not responsible for all the output. I'm not responsible for my ex-husband. I'm not responsible for my kids later in life, decisions they make, but I am responsible for how I choose to live today. Parenting is the topic. Your comment line is always available to you at 888-888-1717. I'll go back to some questions here. Kelsey in Florida with a question for me. Go right ahead.
I know I've done things wrong in the way you're supposed to do it spiritually and all. Like, I'm not married to my significant other, and we do have a son together. And I'm kind of lost at, like, I know that when you put God first and, you do it the right way, like, everything falls into place and, he makes things good and we haven't, everything's backwards. But we've been together now for almost 4 years, and he has a 7-year-old daughter from a previous marriage, and I have a 5-year-old daughter from a previous marriage, and then we have a 4-month-old son. And I just am lost on whether to keep going and hope that he, comes around with, I believe our beliefs and all are completely different now. He was raised in a church, and he, when we first got together, he went to church with me, and, I don't know if he was just acting one way or what it was, but now he's voiced that, he doesn't believe the same things, and
yeah.
Which throws off everything. Everything in our relationship has been thrown off now because of it.
Well, when you say relationship, you mean lack of trust because you feel like he changed?
Like, I don't even know if he really believed in it in the beginning or if he was just telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
But our, how we parent, is all completely opposite of each other because, there's a biblical way and there's, been other ways, and he's just super hard on the kids and feels he doesn't need to build them up at all. He can just, I'm lost on, do I try for my son or what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Kelsey. I hear a lot of confusion, and I hear broken dreams, broken hopes. We know that expectations, whenever they're not met with reality, it doesn't play out in a life that it creates disappointment, disillusionment. That's kind of what I hear. You're in a kind of like you're wandering around in a dark room looking for the door, bumping up against the wall and not quite sure what to do next. And whenever we're in a place like that, we need to sit down and kind of get centered spiritually and bringing around us some people that can help us think through. Because you can't control your husband. You can't control him. You're not going to, you can't change his mind, his heart, his attitude, anything. Only God can do that. What you can do is pray for him, be the person you need to be in relationship with him, and be the person that you need to be in relationship with your kids. In other words, you're living your life. I call it the 3-foot rule. We have about 3 feet of which we have control, our attitude, our voice, the words that we speak, the things that we do, but we cannot be responsible for other people. We can't be responsible for what they think, what they say, what they do. And boy, that's so tough. But I think the first thing, Kelsey, I'd really encourage you to do is, we talk about this centering thing. I mean, from a biblical perspective, is just sit down, get into God's word in prayer, maybe even find a good counselor, someone you can start to talk about what you're feeling and what's going on in your life to help you build an intentional plan. The very first step of intentional living is recognizing that something isn't working and then making a decision to say, I'm going to be intentional in making some changes in my life for God's glory, our benefit, including myself. Because continuing to wander around in that room of darkness, bumping up against the wall, hoping to find a door, isn't going to get you out of there. You got to stop, make a change, go in a different direction. Okay, I hope that helps. Okay, let's go to Letitia. What's going on with you today?
I have my 16-year-old daughter, and I think she tries to take advantage of that situation.
Mm-hmm. So she plays one parent against the other?
No, it's not like that. It's like she's been asking for a tattoo and a pierce on her tongue, and then so I tell her, your dad's not going to like it. And then she said, well, he don't need to know. She knows it's not right, but she still wants to do it.
Yeah, sure. And so do you and Dad agree?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are in agreement.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that she wants to do this.
He knows because he knows what she likes, and he knows, but I think most of it she tries to get his attention.
Yeah, you know, that's not the kind of attention I think a 16-year-old should be looking for in this day and age. Letitia, listen, you and your husband are in agreement. You don't want her to do this. Do you have a good relationship with your daughter, you and Dad?
My husband and me are in a situation right now where we're not together and we argue sometimes.
Okay, so you're separated.
Yes, and I think that's why she's acting this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's the acting out, you know. And of course, everybody, I mean, the tattoos and piercings. You know, we got kids today trying to make gender identity decisions. I mean, hello, in the world in which we live. And so when I come up with something and say something, I certainly sound out of step with where our culture is today. But this is what I've taught for years. You got a 16-year-old making a decision that they're going to live with for the rest of their life. You don't think it's a good decision. They think it is. I don't think I argue with them. Is it a good decision or bad decision? I think you say, look, when you're 18, you can make that decision. That's a decision you can make. I mean, you'll be 18 years old. You can pierce every part you want. I'm going to love you. You can put tattoos all over yourself. I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love you whatever decisions you're going to make. I love you. You're my child. You're a creation of God. But at 16, the answer is no. And Dad and I are in agreement. And then you and Dad need to stand together and be in agreement. And she's not coming to you to try to play you against Dad, which sounds like is what's happening. Maybe you're the softy and Dad isn't. But to be in agreement. And if it's 18, to make that a decision, whatever it is, you guys, but make sure it's something that you both agree with. All right. Now, Jennifer, do I sound like I'm really out of touch with this culture today? But what do you think with a 16-year-old and making some of those kind of permanent decisions that kids are making today for the rest of their lives?
I think it's unfortunate. And I say that from experience with my own daughter. My daughter wanted to get, a belly piercing and all these things.
Ouch.
And I said, you're 16. And right now, your dad and I say no. When you're 18, if you still want it, then we can't tell you anything because you're legally an adult and you can go off and do it. I would prefer you don't. Yep. But at that point, it's your decision. Yep. So she does have those piercings and she has a lot of tattoos. And I've always, she does come to me still for advice. Well, Mom, what do you think of this tattoo? And one of them, I told her, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like what it looks like. And that's my opinion. You're asking my opinion, I'm telling you. So that's one thing I've always tried to be.
She asked your opinion after it was done.
No.
Oh, before
it was
okay.
Done. And luckily I told her if I were you, I would think on it at least for a couple weeks. If you still want it, then get it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what I think regardless, but you're opening that door, asking my opinion.
Sure.
And as your mom, I'm just telling
you. Well, that's good news.
I don't like it.
That's good news that she still wants your opinion.
She
on things.
Didn't
yeah.
get that particular
yeah.
tattoo.
Good.
So as a mom, I felt
there
like,
you
yes,
go.
I win.
You got a winner going there. That's fantastic. Learning parenting is difficult. And today, listen, God bless you parents. You're facing a lot of challenges. And our culture is not supportive of parents today. Not like we've seen in years past. But listen, God has put you there in that place. You're the only person on the planet, you and your spouse, or you and the other parent, that have that title as parent, you know? And so really have that as a sort of a guiding principle to move forward in honoring in God and how you do it. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back, I think, going to Mike after the break. Don't go away. Romans 5, 3 and 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, but we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, our confident hope, of salvation. It's really interesting. And what Paul is saying to us is we really learn to rejoice during difficult times. That's not an easy thing to do. I put there as a little sub-note, we need to use our problems to grow. I mean, we're either going to grow through problems or we're not going to grow through problems. And I think in a ministry basis, when I'm talking, this helped me as doing this lesson, because I'm thinking as I talk to people on the radio and they're calling, talking about all the problems that they're having, it's easy to say, how can I help you get out of your problems? Instead of saying, what have you learned from your problem? What have you learned from this? What is God teaching you?
You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month, 6 verses from Scripture on how to actually experience hope in your life. Powerful lesson, and we'd love to get it into your hands. We're right here literally at the end of the month, and so sort of a last call to get in on this. I'd love to have you be a part of the Ministry of Intentional Living. I was looking at the report. We are several thousand dollars behind the need that we have for the month of August. And I just pray that in the hours ahead that we'll have some friends, maybe you, to step up and in a generous way to help support us to close out this month for Intentional Living. We'd appreciate it. How do you do that? You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go online safe and securely to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on that little donate icon.
Hello, Dr. Randy. I have a question regarding our parenting. I am married to a great man, which is my son's stepfather. He loves and adores him, calls him dad. But we don't always agree on our parenting. My style is much more laid back and his is much more pushing. So that's where we struggle. A lot of our arguments are over our son and how he is to do things. So just any advice you might be able to give would be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, to the extent possible, I really always encourage when we have blended families that the parent coming in would be playing that supportive, encouraging role with the, what I use the term, primary parent. I know both of you love the child and are involved. But to take that submissive role at times, I think we are to submit to one another out of obedience and love for Christ, it says in Scripture. And there are times as a man we need to submit to our wives, and there's times that a wife needs to submit to her husband, maybe because of information, maybe because of knowledge and experience, spiritual maturity, any number of things. But a wise person there would be saying, listen, I'm here to help you be successful in raising your son or raising your daughter, and you tell me how I can best support you. Here's my input. Here's what I think. Here's what I believe the line should be, but I'm going to support you because that's why I'm here. That's a position we've taken over the years, and I think it's the best position for couples who have disagreements in blended situations like that. Mike is next. So, Mike, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Well, I have a 12-year-old that doesn't want to mind, if you will.
Uh-huh.
He's failing in school, failing at home, and it's all by his own hand. He is just rebelling, and no matter what we do to try to help him, it doesn't seem to work. It just seems like it kind of puts more anger and frustration into him and then more yelling into the house. There's 2 5-year-olds here that don't get a quarter of the yelling that he gets.
All right, so there's yelling going on, so that's how you're trying to help him? Or is that where it ends up when the help doesn't help?
There's been, you know, tons of things that we've tried to help him with. We brought him down to a different town because he was struggling up in another town. So we brought him down here to give him a brand new start, and that really sparked a hatred fire for him.
All right, it's because he lost some of the structure that he had and friends that he had. And
yeah, he didn't really have structure, but he had a lot of bad influences. And so then bringing him down here, it just kind of put a wrench in his engine.
Let me ask you a question. When you say we, you and your wife, right?
Yes. Me and my new wife. His mom lives up in another town.
That's where I was sort of heading. Has there been anything going on in the family that affects a 12-year-old in terms of his security or feelings about himself or anger? Is there something else going on other that could be a part of this family change?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a divorce, but he, mom is up on a pedestal for him.
All right, so you're the enemy?
Yeah.
All right, so he's angry about the loss of you guys not staying married.
Yeah, but it's been many years that we haven't been married. It's just he lived with mom for, you know, the majority of the time.
Right, but his life was upset for many years now. He's been back and forth, right, that kind of thing?
Yeah, because I lived in the same town, and he would come with me for a week. He would go with his mom for a week, and then, you know, it would be back and forth. And then he was coming down here for the weekends, and he started getting into drugs and running around with the wrong crowd and not paying attention to what he was supposed to do, failing at school.
Are you and mom on the same page?
Yes.
No, good. When I think being on the same page, you really need to take advantage of that and just say, look, both of you get some help. Maybe if you talk to someone together, get some counseling together. And I know it's an ex situation, but be able to come to some agreement saying, this is how we're going to handle this. We are going to be on the same page, no light between us when it comes to this 12-year-old, because his future depends on what happens now and the decisions that are made, the accountability. And of course, getting him some help, letting him find somebody he can talk to, a counselor or someone, because my guess is he maybe sees himself as the problem child or the bad child. Or the, you know, kids tend to, someone told me once that, I think it was one of my professors, or maybe it was Kevin Lehman, either Kevin Lehman or one of my professors, if a child can't be the best at being best, they'll be the best at being worst, but they're going to be the best at something. And I think that was a really kind of a word picture of kids sometimes identify themselves. They label themselves. They identify as this rebellious kid or this child that's not being appreciated and has a right to act out in life. And they need to experience the consequences, see the consequences, and have the reality of the kind of consequences from this behavior, because you know where it's going to lead, where it can lead. And the first step is you and mom getting on the same page with no light between you. Heavy day today and yesterday. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. You know, we talk about experiencing hope here at the ministry. And we know when you hear a song or you're involved in worship, there's that feeling of hope. So as you listen to the music throughout the day on the radio, just experience that peace and hope. And then as we have a chance to turn this into, now how do I actually live? As you do these things intentionally in Christ, getting into His Word, making a decision, doing the next right one thing, decluttering your life of things that are keeping you from experiencing God's best, then that experience of hope can be something that lasts beyond the echo, beyond just the time of worship. And I hope that's your experience. I'm Dr. Randy for Jennifer, Stephen, and the rest of the team here. God bless you, and be intentional for God's glory today.